Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sith Council. We got the whole crew here today. I'm excited for it. Can't wait. Oh, there's nothing here. Oh, that's not the show. That's the show. It's Sith Council. And do me a favor. Subscribe, will you? Subscribe. Hit that like button. Hit the notification button. Do all that. We have a lot to talk about today. Lindelof going to do a Star Wars movie? Yeah, that's not going to happen. Why? Because none of the movies ever happen. But they're talking to him again. So that's interesting. We have more stuff about Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're going to talk to Mike about whether or not he liked the trailer. You never know with this freaking guy. And that's it. We're just going to kind of talk. And is Anchorhead coming into Obi-Wan? That's what I hear. Do you hear that? Well, you're going to hear it in a little bit. I just spoiled that for you. All right, everybody, let's get into it. It is Sith Council. Come on, let's do it. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sith Council. We got this lovely lady here.
Hello.
This lovely lady here. And
Audi.
It is.
Who,
Sith
me?
Council.
Or you?
Lovely lady, so you.
Yeah.
You're like hottie, so you're calling yourself a hottie?
Oh, I know that, but I was I was recognizing you in the hot girl.
Thanks, queen.
Did you get no sleep last night?
Me?
Yeah.
Dude, my schedule. Why?
Because you're a little out of it.
Am I?
Yeah. Because before I said something and just
my schedule's been,
Work
is killing
me. Am I wrong?
This is my favorite sandwich ever. Watching you two communicate.
Try that's her.
Through a
and he doesn't even know what's going on. Two guys, they're growing a sandwich. What?
No.
This guy.
Okay. You know what?
Little class.
You know what?
I'm gone.
You're out. Green strikes.
Just like
you're
that.
Out of here.
Just like that. All right. Lots to talk about. Mike.
Yeah, buddy boy.
Let's start with the trailer because we didn't get to get any of your thoughts on it. No. And I don't ever follow you on Twitter to know what you're saying. So what? How did it go? What happened?
Well, I wanted to ask you guys because I was preoccupied last week. I couldn't be here. Important thing.
Yes.
But I noticed I was watching your guys' reactions. Did the trailer drop when you guys were in show?
It
what
did.
Happened?
Yeah, we were in the middle. We were talking about the images that had dropped like 2 hours beforehand.
Correct.
And we're going over those. And then we're like, oh, wait. Except we were going through like tweets or something. And then it was like, oh, yeah, the trailer dropped. Like, no.
No.
Oh, wait. And then we looked like, okay. And we just ended the show 25 minutes into it to react to the trailer.
Because we didn't think that the day they drop photos, they would drop a trailer.
Right. Like, usually a day later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Okay.
But,
fair enough.
But yeah, so we did. Reacted to it. We loved it. You?
I was in a funeral, and I couldn't see it. And I opened up my phone after the funeral, and there's all this stuff. And I was like, I got to watch this now. But I don't like watching stuff on my phone, especially an Obi-Wan trailer. I'm not going to do that, so I had to get home and watch it. And it was wonderful. You know, I didn't need to see a trailer for this show. This thing sells itself.
Right.
But what I do love, you know me, I love discourse. I love calm discourse.
Yeah.
And internet's already, you know, here's a petition to make the Grand Inquisitor look like the Clone Wars. You know, all that came out. But I'm very curious. I want to get your guys' thoughts on this because the Cad Bane thing and when that guy did that, and again, I was putting my foot in my mouth where he wasn't going, it sucked. I wanted to do my own version of Cad Bane. This guy was just a talented animator that Molly Damon explained to me was loved Star Wars.
Yeah.
But this is different, this Inquisitor picture, because we have seen with Tian, I don't know his last name, Bruce Spence plays him in Revenge of the Sith. We've seen this species with that long head.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a distinct, like Cad Bane looked like the other Cad Bane species we've seen.
You ever seen a human with a big head and a human with a small head?
Yeah, I have, but we're all within the same scope of things. You've got the occasional elephant man that's got a ridiculous human head.
Yeah.
But we're all, the three of us at this table, our heads are within an inch or two different size.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Okay. So that was a little, but again, I have no attachment to the Grand Inquisitor.
Right.
I could care less that he looked.
I could not care less.
Yeah. About how he looks.
And then there's the other guy, the short, squat guy with the walk on his head.
Yeah, I don't care about any of that.
He looks different. I don't care. They look fine to me.
Yeah, I don't care.
I
was mentioning to Steph, I think that what I will care is if the Grand Inquisitor is radically different in character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it shows up. If it's a different character and doesn't feel like the character that we saw in Rebels, then that I think is a cause for concern.
Someone made a great point. And they're talking about Star Wars and family and identity is such an important part of Star Wars, especially the Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. And we've spent so little time in all different medias with Owen and Beru.
Right.
We really haven't. And I hope, and just we've seen the pictures and you get Egerton back, who back at Revenge of the Sith wasn't really anything at the time. He was just an up-and-coming actor in England.
Right.
And his career has since skyrocketed. So I would hope
we are going to...
Oh, you're
going to
have a lot with him.
Get into the book and just seeing the anger that builds between the two of them.
Well, Deborah Chow said as much in the picture when they're talking about it. They said, well, thank you to George Lucas for casting him, because that's all I'll say is you absolutely are going to play into...
Yeah.
You have to, right? The reason why he's got so much animosity.
Yeah, there's just Kenobi. That's what I love of New Hope is we didn't get all this backstory. We just got it in the text, in the script. And you're like, oh, there's history with these two guys. They do not like each other. And they had no scenes together.
Right.
So now we're going to get those scenes. And such good
actors. You have to do that.
Edgerton.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, I'm excited for them for sure. Yeah. And then there was something else that came out last week, and there's an update to it. So we talked about the Darth Maul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never wanted Darth Maul in the series. Made no sense from the way Rebels was put together. Rebels, they had a perfect ending to it. He didn't know Kenobi was on Tatooine. Hollywood Reporter, Boris Kitt, and someone else had a report that he was in the original script, and that Deborah Chow then took it to Filoni and Favreau, and they were like, the lone wolf and cub story isn't working as much. Maybe put Vader in there. So before we actually get into all that, there's an update on the story.
Ooh.
And in a wild story that The Hollywood Reporter ran, even with denial from their own Lucasfilm source, now Lucasfilm creative executive Pablo Hidalgo also took to his private Twitter account to colorfully and vehemently deny the report. He did not mince words in labeling this story as false, quote tweeting a report on the story with the following: a brown sunrise bullshit has been spilled. to this point,
legendary.
Yeah, to this point, there has been no counter from The Hollywood Reporter, but we will keep you posted if anything. Last week in Entertainment Weekly, I know it's something else. A new story. No, that's the old story is what they heard. I look, a lot of times any production company or anybody will also try to say, no, nothing's going on when it's bullshit. Right. I actually believe Hidalgo on this, because I remember when the script was going around and Vader was very, very much a part of the script.
I just don't think when you're writing this and you're bringing Obi-Wan back, you know, and you're going to do his show, there is no, and Rebels covered him and Maul. Covered that, right? Or Clone Wars?
Yeah. Rebels did, and it took place around like 7 or 8 years after Kenobi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way that they set it up was that he had finally found Kenobi after all these years.
Right.
So you would assume that Filoni and Favreau would have been consulted before they started writing.
Yeah, like, no, it's covered that. It's like, and it's bringing Hayden back and the two of them.
Right.
That's the story, not Ray Park, Peter Safinowicz, or whoever you want to get the voice, Sam Witwer doing the voice.
Maybe Sam, yeah.
You don't need that. That to me is... And then there was the whole BS about Ray Park and his personal Instagram, and that happened, and that caused him to get pulled off. Oh, God.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense with the... I think they've discussed it. I stand by that. I think that there was definitely probably a discussion just because Darth Maul is such a popular character.
It's just throw spaghetti at the wall type brainstorming.
But it doesn't really make sense, because even if you do flashbacks with Anakin and Obi-Wan, Darth Maul was barely a part of their arc at all. It was only really Obi-Wan and Maul.
And look, considering it's an Obi-Wan series, and if that's what you're going to do, but from the time period and where it looks like it's landing, it doesn't make sense to have him. It never did. So I don't agree with a lot of people who say, oh, Maul should be in this because of their beef. It's like, it doesn't, that part of the feud doesn't fit in at the moment. What does fit in that I thought, when you look at this trailer, when you blend in the original trilogy, Rebels, and the prequels together, you get the trailer that we saw. You got the Grand Inquisitors, you have Vader, you have all this stuff combined together with how he's learning Tatooine and figuring out Tatooine, and then he goes off-world. Someone asked me on Big Thing the other day if I thought Leia was going to be in it. 100%.
Kid Leia.
100?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, Kid Leia.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, and now Smits, though, is in it.
But that's why I say...
Is Smits in it?
Yeah.
Oh, then, yeah.
That's why I say
100%.
Yeah. Jimmy Smits.
Yeah, then you've got that. Jimmy Smits?
Jimmy Smits.
That's a... Yeah, Smits' brother. Jimmy Smits.
No, Jimmy Smits. Jimmy Smits is in it. And he... at least there's like heavy reports that he's in it. And I think that if you're going to have him, and if you have a young Luke in it, I think young Leia is a given.
Yeah.
Steph, you think so?
Yeah, young Leia for sure. For a second, I thought you were thinking older. And
No,
didn't make sense.
No.
But yeah, young Leia, definitely.
One thing that did surprise me a little bit from, and again, this is nothing against the trailer, was we've seen so much concept art of fans imagining Ewan McGregor older. We've seen action figures that they do. What would it be like merging him with Guinness? So when I saw the original picture of him, I was like, huh, not what I thought he was going to look like.
What did you think?
It was weird. It was just the outfit and everything, because we've seen so many people want this version of mm-hmm. him. And we've seen so many different great concept art. I was like, oh, okay, that's not what I thought. You look kind of just like a nobody.
But isn't that good?
I know that's supposed to be good. Yeah. He'd look like... I was like, yeah, he wouldn't be around Tatooine with his tattered Jedi robe still. And that's what everyone that, like, Sideshow Toys makes this great figure. They call it a legacy figure. And it's like a younger Alec Guinness, but it's kind of a Ewan McGregor. And it's just, but he's got the robes on.
And he's got a blend on. I mean,
it's 10 years later. He's a homeless guy out in the desert. I was like, that's what he would look like.
That's what he would look like.
Yeah, that's what he would look like.
Well, that's what they said, though, inside of these pictures. I thought the way that they released everything from the pictures into the trailer was done very well, because you started to give these snippets, like when they said about Obi-Wan that he's lost, he feels defeated, he's trying to come to
the line,
and then they have that line. The question is, though, in that line, who's he talking to?
I don't know.
I bet you it's got to be.
So I just hit it right there. Right? You just hit it. What you just said. I was expecting him, and in my head again, this is all we as fans build up and have to realize, like, oh, it's not what we wanted, but that's the story. He wasn't looking very heroic to me. And I always pictured Ewan McGregor, even in his most defeat, heroic.
Yeah.
And didn't look, but that fits the story. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited to see that. But we lost. That line. Yeah, it's over. Defeated. We lost.
And it's such, and the music.
You gotta be talking to Qui-Gon.
The music.
You gotta be talking to Qui-Gon.
Duel of the Fates. Oh, gosh.
Duel of the Fates and the, what's it, the Heroes, what the hell is that?
Heroes,
not the Heroes Journey.
Not
the
Twin Sons.
Shoot. The people.
Binary Sunset?
No, the Battle of the Heroes.
Duel of the Fates.
Battle of the Heroes.
Attack from Rise of the Sith.
Yes, the Revenge of the Sith. Wow, don't compete
Come on,
today.
IG champion.
Don't compete today.
It's been long.
I know.
The hell.
But the other. I look. So we'll get more into Obi-Wan for sure. But there's another report about Damon Lindelof. Did you read this one?
I did, and I kind of was. Yeah, I don't want to say anything.
Well, do you know?
I know Lindelof. Of course I do. Not personally.
No. I'm saying, what's your vibe right now?
Everything he writes is phenomenal, but there's zero ending. I don't know where it ends, but I don't know what.
Besides that, do you know who wrote this report?
Who?
Damon Lindelof, co-creator of Lost and Leftovers and creator of the Watchmen TV series, is reportedly working on a new Star Wars movie. According to The Anklers, Jeff Snyder, the writer-producer, was approached to create a new entry into the Star Wars universe after publicly saying he'd like to work in the universe. Snyder has previously revealed. Should I call Jeff Snyder right now? See what we got.
Get the facts.
Let's see if he picks up.
Are you really calling him?
Yeah, I'm calling Snyder. I want to see what he's got.
He's got him on speed dial. Look at that. I'm not calling him.
See if he picks up. I gotta see. I gotta find out more of this report.
He's not. Hey, you reached.
Jeff Snyder. Jeff, we're on Sith Council right now. We're reading your report on Damon Lindelof, and I wanted to get a few words from you. So if you get this over the next half an hour or so, please give me a call back, and I'd love to talk to you on the air about it. All right, bye. Oh, here he is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, perfect. I just left you a message. You're on the air right now, Jeff. You're on the air for Sith Council. Sith Council. Yes. So I want to know the report. I'm reading it.
I'll give you this. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
I'll give you the straight shit. Yeah. But I've heard this. I've been hearing this for like 6 weeks, right? And I was just getting some bullshit.
Yeah.
Feedback. Just like. Well, he's working on a Peacock show, and like, it'd be a real shame if like. This was reported because then his people on the Peacock show would feel like he's like not fully invested, or like, you know, where he's working on other stuff. Like, I was just like, what? Right. And it's like no one was confirming it, but nobody was denying it either.
Right.
And listen, I don't know if I nailed the story. It's very possible that he's running some sort of writer's room up there.
Okay.
You know, that he's not necessarily like. Because I could be wrong, like, you know, maybe he's not writing a screenplay, or maybe he's like I said, he could be co-writing it, that was in the story, but it's very possible he's running some sort of writer's room or operation up there, because they just have no idea what they're doing with Star Wars.
Okay? Movies.
Right, on the movie side. Right. I have no idea what the hell is going on. Everyone's like, well, what about, you know, Taika has this, and Rian Johnson, Benioff, there are all these projects. Like, what are they doing? They're not doing anything.
Right.
Right? And this is the biggest franchise on the planet.
Right.
So you can't just, like, start cranking out these fairly anonymous television shows. Obi-Wan, all this, sorry, I gotta go inside, because I literally saw my landlord start to take out a drill.
It's a Lucasfilm employee.
They feel the same, kind of. I mean, even though they're good, they don't feel like special events, and you should be making theatrical revenue. Like, I know it's a weird time for theaters right now, but people are still turning out for big properties, like, right?
Batman, yeah.
Starved than ever.
Yeah.
So they're not going to the movies every weekend. They're going every, you know, quarter, right? Right. To Spider-Man one quarter and a Batman the next quarter, whatever it is. So I think they needed to do something. Damon Lindelof is coming off of Watchmen. Your reward for doing a great show like Watchmen is not a fucking Peacock show. Like, right. The guy is definitely working on something else. Every big writer in town is juggling multiple projects. So don't tell me he's, like, focused on this one thing. Like, come on.
Right.
So something's brewing. I don't know what it is. Nobody wanted to talk about it,
but that's it.
You don't mess with Jeff Snyder.
No, you don't mess with Snyder. He's in Snyder for a reason. Like you said, you don't know exactly what it could be. He could be in a writer's room. No particular project. Because, like, I actually.
If I had any details of, like, what it was about, I would gladly share them. I have no idea what it is.
I don't, because I think that's, well, I think that's what you said. I don't think that they really know. And I also think, I agree and disagree with you at the same time. I agree that they need the box office from the Star Wars movies, because you can look at what a Spider-Man or the Batman did, and with a tentpole like that, you should be making movies. But I actually think that their plan and their narrative fits much better in television, because it seems like they actually know what they're doing as far as storytelling inside of TV. So I enjoy it more on television, but I agree with you that it's a necessity to make the money.
How do you neglect the biggest movie franchise in the world? Like,
yeah.
You just going to stop making movies? Like, and everyone is so busy when you look at Taika's schedule and, right. You know what? You know, I feel like there's three active movies. Okay. I think it's whatever Damon is working on. And it's like whatever Feige has. And is that, and then the Michael Waldron one, is that one in the same?
No one knows.
Yeah, the Michael Waldron one.
That's the one. I think that's Feige. That's the one. I think that's the Feige one.
Right. They may exactly. That's what I said. They may be one in the same. And then I guess it's Tyke's or whatever. Right. But it's just.
Yeah. Who knows? All right. Well, good. Look. Well, fam. I was happy to see your name on the report. And we look forward to keeping up with that story.
Okay.
All right, brother man.
Take care, Sith people.
See you later.
Bye.
See you, buddy boy. All right. So Jeff Snyder breaking that story. And he to touch on what he said there. As I said to him, I agree with him where you can't ignore, if you're trying to, for business purposes, you got to try to make a movie, because you got to try, because if you look at what...
It's revenue. Like you said,
it's revenue.
Leaving revenue on the table.
And you're not taking advantage. But my hesitation with it is, you look at the difference between the television side and the movie side, is it's everything's up in the air in the movie side.
Let me ask you guys this, because this is kind of a thing going on. A lot of people are saying with Disney Plus, like they put Turning Red on Disney Plus instead of releasing it, and it's getting great reviews. But someone made a very good point. They said, no, Disney knows that the streaming and Disney Plus that's where they want to focus from now on and get away from the movies. It's not a negative thing putting these shows there. It's a positive. That's what they're thinking Disney's looking at. Not like, oh, we're dumping this film that's not going to do well on Disney Plus about, you know, a girl's puberty and, you know, no. We love this film. We want to bring the views to our subscription service.
Well, we talked about that with, like, Ms. Marvel,
right? I'm curious.
Well, we talked about it with, like, Ms. Marvel. Like, with Ms. Marvel, when they put that trailer out, that is aimed for younger generation. You got the Moon Knight, which is aimed for... It's
older.
And they're putting Daredevil and everything else now onto the Disney Plus also. So they're going to all audiences, and the streaming service allows you to just market towards everybody.
Right.
The movie, you've got to target... towards everyone that you want to hit, because you want them to spend the money on the ticket.
You want it to be four quadrant.
And that's why this with Star Wars, it's so tricky for them, because you only have, I mean, you look at how divisive a lot of the new trilogy was and how the fan base will just, because look at Boba Fett. You have one episode that people don't like and people are bitching about it. And then the next week you put Luke Skywalker in there and everybody loves Star Wars again. And that's 1 week.
Right.
1 week. And you got to sit in the stink for 3 years in a movie.
I was just talking about this with a bunch of people with Batman. We get one of the greatest Batman movies of all time But then people that are still stuck with the Snyder stuff are like, it sucks. He's not this. Like, even within the fandom itself now, DC has become Star Wars, where it's just, it's eating itself and fighting itself with these different properties. And it's,
yeah. That's why TV, and same, look, the TV TV's side the, of it.
I get it. I love it.
And I do as well. But
I
like,
love a TV experience. But Lindelof, I love a movie experience.
Lindelof, that's why, I mean, I didn't ask the question because Jeff started to answer it when he started talking about film. I would have preferred Lindelof to be doing TV. He's got a better track record in TV than he does in film. And I would have rather him done
There's
TV.
No question the guy's not incredibly talented, like, Watchmen is just phenomenal.
Leftovers, man.
It's so, Leftovers.
I never saw that.
Oh, it's awesome.
Those are two of my favorite Leftovers shows ever. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, and
you should watch Leftovers. It's incredible.
It's really good. It's on HBO Max.
What's the actor's name?
He's
a writer too.
Hottie.
No, who is
that guy?
Just Thoreau. Hottie. Justin Thoreau.
Justin Thoreau.
Yeah. He's the master code breaker.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
There you go. Hide you guys back. Heyo.
You'll find him with a rose in his
the
lapel.
Best character ever.
A red palm bloom. Thank you very much.
Oh, is he coming back? No, you're never going to see him ever again. Okay, great. Perfect.
He just went to this stupid planet for nothing.
Apparently,
I don't know. I'm still burned on him by Lost.
Oh, but that again, that was not his fault.
I know,
because that's ABC. That's the Drew McQueenie posted something the other day. Where get off your phone, will you?
I'm looking up Lindelof's resume here. I'm trying to talk about what I love about him, what I don't.
So Lindelof,
my phone.
Well, but I think Drew McQueenie had mentioned about how he was so happy that the day of the 22 episodes is just going away.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I did see that,
because it's like, first of all, it's a lot to cover, but second of all, it's also like, all right, we need more episodes, guys. Get those writers in there. And like, what the hell do we write? Our arc was only going to be like 10.
Where you get filler episodes.
And that's what happened with Lost. And remember, a lot of people don't realize with Lost, what happened was in like season two, there was like this big hiatus from like the first half to the second half. And like, you don't get that in television now. It's like, you look at something like Ozark. Ozark, the final season, they're doing 12 episodes. The first six came out in the beginning of the year. The second come out in April. Yeah. And you're just going to, you're going to finish it all up and you can, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just see both sides, because as an actor, I want 22.
Of course, as far
as
work
a crew.
Wise,
and what I love about Drew McQueenie is he plays both sides of that.
Yeah.
He'd said, he's like, I get it. Writers, directors, it's more work for everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm torn, because I do like a shorter season. I love, for me, 10 to 13, like, yeah. I don't like the 6-8. That's too short for me.
It depends.
I like half of a 22.
See, I'm on a side
10 to 13.
It just depends to me on the story. Right, like if the
right,
story,
you're
if,
right, you're
like
right.
If the story seems like if six episodes, I'm like, like Hawkeye, right? Hawkeye could have been longer.
Yeah,
they jammed in everything with Kingpin, and they jammed so much like
right.
Quick,
yeah,
they didn't set it up. That could have been a longer show.
Yes.
That I don't think it was necessary. Now, Obi-Wan six episodes, that we could be like, that was a perfect 6 hours.
Right.
And boom, or it could be like, oh, like same thing with Boba Fett. What was Boba Fett? 7.
Yeah,
I think that could have been longer.
I think Mando nailed it for both.
Yes.
Of them. Yeah. I think both Mandos, they nailed
perfect
that.
Perfect amount for Mando. So
I think it just really depends on the story, though, and I like that we're giving more creative leeway for people to decide how many episodes they need.
Yeah, agreed. I totally agree. All right, before we move on, everybody, I want to tell you all about this Friday. You got Sam Levine, episode 3 of Titans. He's coming back in a number one contender match, but he's got to go up against the Barbarian. Barbarian is the finalist in last year's Ultimate Schmodown. This is going to be a really great match. If you've never seen Friday Night Titans, if you've never seen this before, if you used to watch the show, please check out Titans. It's a brand new look. It is a reboot. We're really excited for you to check it out. And we also want to tell you about NordVPN. NordVPN is awesome, man. We've been using it recently, and we're very excited to pair up with them. Let me tell you a little bit about NordVPN. What I'm excited about is that I've told you many times over how important it is for the security of my crew and my audience, and it's very important to all of us. And so one of the main reasons that I've been using NordVPN is that it's fast and it's a secure service. It significantly boosts your online privacy and your security. What NordVPN does, it enables and encrypts your traffic on both the web and the mobile, that you don't have to worry about unsecure websites or apps that you're using. It's pretty great, especially if you're running around, if we're on the road, if we're doing studio events. It's refreshing because I'm not worried about who's doing what, and I'm not worried about what's happening behind unsecured public Wi-Fi network. If I have to email somebody or managing documents, or if I'm talking to somebody on social media, I know that my phone and I know that my laptop, it's all secure, because that's what NordVPN does. It makes it very easy to switch my virtual location. You just do it with one click. You can access streaming stuff that's available in different parts of the world, or especially Netflix overseas. You can go to nordvpn.com/big thing. Head on over to nordvpn.com/big thing. We're very excited to be working with them.
And I don't know how much you know about them, but if you want to do this, and you should do this, you should grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to and using that code BIGTHING. Get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan. Plus, you get one additional month for free and a bonus gift. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Use that code BIGTHING or go to nordvpn.com/BIGTHING. All right, so sticking with this TV film thing and Lindelof and all of that, I think that with the movie, the movies still have a massive problem. They just have a massive problem. Like, it's I don't think they've changed their strategy or their plan. It's like, okay, let's go get a big director, Rian Johnson. Let's go get a big creator, Lindelof. Let's go get a big director, J.J. Abrams. Let's go get a big director, Taika Waititi. And what's the plan? And even Jeff said it. He's like, they don't know what they're doing over there. It's all up in the air. It's like, are you going to focus on the Old Republic? Are you going to focus on the High Republic? Are you going to focus on a certain time period? Are you going to focus on characters? Like, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe that's why they're taking so much time, because they're coming up with an actual plan. But, and they very well might be doing this scenario I'm about to pitch. But why wouldn't you put Filoni and Favreau in the war room, you know, and say, hey, okay, look, if we want to connect all of it, the way the fans have really been responding to the connectivity of The Mandalorian and Boba Fett and now Ahsoka, and then we're going to connect Obi-Wan into Revenge of the Sith. Let's start connecting some of the stuff that we're doing in films to some of the stuff we're doing in TV and make it a whole big family stuff. So what can we do to help? What should the plan be? I hope that's what they're doing, but I don't have confidence in the film department that they're doing this. Steph, do you agree, disagree?
I think they're doing it, which is why they've been so chaotic. I think after they announced all the movies up to like 2028, which was ridiculous in my opinion, that they realized that was a bad mistake because they didn't actually have the plan. And now they've been kind of radio silent about the movie. They've given us some release dates, but no certainty on Taika's or...
No, there's no release dates.
Oh, yeah, nothing that comes out after. So I think they're probably in meetings figuring that out. If I had to guess where they were going with things, my gut tells me perhaps the High Republic, just because that's where they've put a lot of effort into, like, books.
Yeah.
They'd have, like, the after show with Christina Ariel on it. Like, it just seems like that's the story that they're moving towards, but I have no idea.
So, Mike, the thing, like, when you look at that, let's talk Star Wars Celebration.
Let's talk it.
Because Star Wars Celebration, sometimes they nail it and sometimes they flub it. Like in London, they flubbed it so bad. There was nothing to announce. But it's changed so significantly with all the TV stuff that they have. Like, you would assume or at least think that they were trying to gear up with a bunch of announcements for film for Celebration, right?
Yeah. The more we talk about this, you guys are here, I get more and more confused because, Christian, you and I bust balls about this, right? We talk about the connective universe and this and that. But now I'm seeing your point where are they at a point that's like, wow, TV's doing so well. How are the movies we're doing going to connect to this giant world of this? Whereas I was before looking, it's Star Wars, it's the world. I don't care if Patty Jenkins' Rogue Squadron doesn't talk about Mandalorian, it's out there. But maybe, because it is... The pluses also have to come with the minuses for Kathleen Kennedy as a producer. She's knocking out of the park with organizing the TV, but her film slate's a mess.
Every single time.
And the movie, every director that is attached leaves. The track record of them losing these directors in these movies is staggering.
Yeah, is Lindelof even going to stick around?
Staggering.
Right.
So something is not clicking, but it's not like, hey, it's not like before, I'll say this, it's not like we had Feige with the MCU and then Jeff Loeb with the Marvel television. It was just like... It's all connected, we think.
Right.
But it wasn't. It's Kennedy.
But now the MCU and the TV and the films are connected.
Right. Because it's under Feige.
Right. Right.
But it's always been Kennedy. So the weirdness now?
Well, because that's the question. And between speculation and fact, who knows? But from what it sounded like was that the TV and the Disney Plus was kind of like a... experiment for Favreau and Filoni. Go do your thing. What do you need from us? Okay, yeah, we'll give you that. That's what it seemed like. And it was like she wasn't as involved. I don't know how true that is. And there's other reports that she was very involved. And there's other reports that it was like, hey, to me, I've always said this many times over, what a good producer does is What do you need? What can I produce for you to make sure that I can get you what you need? You right. want this? You want this? I need to make this phone call. I need to have this. I need you need this. You want that? That's what a producer does. It produces the amount of material, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the creative of do this here.
Right.
Do it during this time period. Do that. That doesn't need to be, especially if you're not, no one says she needs to be a massive fangirl for Star Wars. She certainly isn't.
Not at all.
But when she starts to try to do that for films, I think that's where the problem is, because for the films, what I used to hear was that it was she didn't like anything that was too inside baseball, the way that Mandalorian is inside baseball. It yeah. works. It works. Yeah. And I think that because they're worried about, because of the point that we tried to make for when you're trying to sell tickets.
Yeah, you've got to please it. Are you going to lose people?
But you got to be confident in the material.
They're not going to lose. I think they should just go more of like the DC route, where it's like taking a while for DC to find its footing.
Yeah.
And they just kept producing movies and making movies. And they did fine, a lot of them. Some of them did great, like Wonder Woman, Aquaman. But
yeah,
now
they changed. Sorry to cut you off, but they changed strategy and they changed leadership.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing.
They're at the point now where it's just like, hire the filmmaker, let them tell their story.
Yeah. I just feel like they're so scared to make flops, more flops yeah. now, even though box office wise, none of the movies in recent years or ever
Solo.
Has been a
Solo.
Yeah, other than yeah. Solo, that's true. But it just feels like they're very scared about the movies, and you can, it's bad that we feel that energy.
Well, but I understand that in a way, though, too, because think about it. If you're, you can PR it all you want that, like, oh no, Last Jedi went over great. It didn't. Like, if you look over for
right.
The majority of people who saw it, whether you look at the Rotten Tomatoes score, it was positive, right? And a lot of people rank it high up in their list.
Yeah.
But you can't deny that there's, and it's not just the people who are just hating to hate. It's not just those people. Like, I'm not someone, I love Star Wars. The more that I watch Last Jedi, the more I don't like it. And I continue to have that conversation, and it's there, and they're aware of that. They know that. They understand that. So what they, and Rise of Skywalker, by the way, same thing. There's tons of people who hate that movie and think it's just a complete, just, you know, a fan service movie.
Yeah.
And so when you're Kathleen Kennedy and you're looking, we got to have one that people love again. Right. Yeah. And so they get very hesitant on what they want to do. So I understand that, because especially when you have all the goodwill right now that the TV has, like, whether like Boba Fett was mixed, but people are losing their minds over the Obi-Wan trailer.
Right.
So you have all this positive energy coming for Star Wars right now that they're worried, like, okay, we put out a movie and then we botch the movie again, or they don't like the movie again. And then it starts to trickle into the TV. That's what they're worried about.
Yeah, my friend who works on the creative side made a good point. He said this a few years ago. He's like, Mike, you could tell Star Wars and the people be are terrified to do a movie that doesn't have a lightsaber in it, that doesn't have a Skywalker in it. They're terrified of that. And it makes sense. You do see it. It's like, oh, Skywalker always pops up somewhere. A lightsaber's always being ignited somewhere. So it's like...
Solo? I guess because Solo bombed, right?
I think this is around the time of that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but again, Maul showed up with a lightsaber.
Rogue One had a lightsaber.
They threw the whole Vader thing in there. So he was making these points around that time. I was like, oh, it's very true. They don't want to do some random new character in some pocket of the universe that we never, doesn't touch a Tatooine, doesn't touch a Coruscant. It just, they need that familiarity.
They think they do, though.
I know.
They think they do.
They don't trust the product.
I agree with a lot of that. When it comes to, you don't need the familiar stuff. You don't have to. You can introduce new characters. You don't have to. But they're going to argue then, well, look, people are losing their minds over Obi-Wan. But Obi-Wan's right. a different character. Obi-Wan's a continuation. It's almost like a sequel.
Right.
The sequel that we wanted. It's, to me, my most anticipated thing that we've gotten since Return of the Jedi, to be
yeah.
honest with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the stuff that I don't agree with, I mean, I always think that I think they need more stuff. I think there's been a lack of Jedi and a lack of Sith stuff in these things for a very long time. I don't like
what?
There's been a lack of it, man. Like, where you look, like when they you're gonna tell me when they brought up the new trilogy, you weren't hoping to see that Luke had brought this whole thing back. Who's the new class of Jedi? There's going to be Jedi everywhere. There's going to be new Jedi like there used to be. And there was like the last of the Jedi again. Two more Jedi running around. The last of the Jedi. We did the last of the Jedi thing already.
Why don't we just not do Jedi anymore for a while?
Eat shit.
Yeah. Why don't we just not do Jedi?
No.
Why?
I like that. I like Jedi.
Why to me. Because you've got so much of it already.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Oh, when was the last? So tell me. Tell me when.
Jedis, really.
Like, when did we have it?
We know four Jedis very, very well.
And Rey had to become one at the end, and she became a Skywalker. She went the Jedi Academy. You know, like that's like where, like that stuff that they're doing. Like that's why people are losing their minds over the Luke stuff in Mandalorian and
the Boba whole Fett. the whole.
She's starting the Academy.
Mandalorian's about the Force.
Well, right,
and Grogu.
Right, and that's Mandalorian is starting to work. It's Mandalorian starting to bring that stuff in there, but it's the same thing. The Last of the Jedi. There's one other one but they're starting to maneuver around. Like you got Ahsoka now. You got Luke. Mandalorian's a good example that they're using it a lot. Yep. And I think the High Republic, when they do High Republic shows, there's going to be tons of Jedi running around, and there's going to be tons of but there'll be Sith. So that'll start to scratch.
I'm
that
just
itch.
A simple man trying to make my way.
Sure are. You sure are.
That's all I want. I just want a Cobb Vanth show and a Western.
I think
who cares about that show though? Besides you, I know, but who cares about that show overall? Like that's going to be. I mean,
what New Range of the New Republic? What? Which one are we talking about?
I mean, but it's like it's. I think that you've got.
I want a show without Skywalkers.
Yeah,
without
fair. So do I.
High
Republic, man. When you get.
I don't need Jedi either, though. You need Jedi. I don't need them.
I need Jedi.
See, the Force to me, like, there's a lot of people. Like Ken Napsok loves like the
mysticism.
No. He's more so of the Republic and the Empire and something. Yeah, I think that's why Andor is going to be his series, right?
Okay,
and I think
Andor
will probably be your series too. Like to me, it's the Sith lore and the religion of the Jedi. That's why I gravitate towards Star Wars. So that's I'm always going to want that stuff. But I understand.
So if a movie comes out with that stuff in it, you're not going to like it.
Without that stuff. No, that's not true. Like Rogue One didn't have it mostly, and I liked. And I think Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie that's come out since.
Agreed.
You know, during the Disney era.
Agreed.
Yeah. As long as it's got that Star Wars feel to it, like the overall, like it's been lived in, like it's part of the overall.
Like, you know, the Jedi are there.
For me, I think the mistake was back when they were trying to do these new kind of spinoffs, Rogue One, Solo, and they were like, we're not doing the crawl.
Yeah.
I think you have the fanfare and the crawl at the beginning, no matter what your properties, every movie, every TV show.
TV show's hard to do.
Man. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But every movie, that sets the tone. Okay, look
at
this.
Look
at this way.
Clone Wars. Though.
Look at it this way. I hear this in the audiences all the time in movies. Marvel has taught audiences to expect post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
I'm sitting next to this people of Batman. Like, it's going to be a post-credit scene. And one guy's like, nah, Marvel, that's Marvel's thing. It's like Star Wars, you can train an audience. You set that crawl up at the beginning, they know they're into the Star Wars world.
Right.
You get a little bit of the fanfare, John Williams, and then take it off wherever you want to go with it. But that little bit at the beginning, go, this is Star Wars, this is what you're used to, this is what you know, you're familiar, you got that warm blanket around you. But this can be a new version of something, a new tale. But it sets it up. They and they would fall. It's like, nah, Rogue One, Solo, we can't do that. We're not going to do it. We're different. That was your mistake.
Yeah, I think they should have done that for those movies.
Yeah,
no, I did. I it was like
and just do that for
different.
Every movie going forward. Give
yeah,
it a crawl.
Set the tone straight.
I agree.
Crawl or crawl? What is it? Crawl? Scroll?
Yeah. Crawl. Yeah, it's a scroll.
Scrotum. Yes.
Scrotum?
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah, right. It's amazing.
All right, so a couple things. We didn't talk about Alan Ladd Jr., by the way. He passed away 84 years old on March 2nd. We didn't talk about that. He was the president. He was the one. Without him,
there was no Star Wars.
He was the one that greenlit it, and he really pushed towards it when everybody else was saying that George Lucas was a crazy person. Nobody wanted to see this stuff. So despite that, Ladd also produced other titles. Alien, 1979. Blade Runner. Willow. Spaceballs. Thelma and Louise. Gone Baby Gone. Which is it's a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
His movies won over 50 Academy Awards with both Chariots of Fire and Braveheart. Receiving Best Picture, so that he was a boss, man. A couple other things. The Armorer returns. Emily Swallow made her return as the Armorer in The Return of the Mandalorian, the fifth chapter of the Book of Boba Fett. The Mass Leader returned to teach Mando yet another lesson. What is this? That's an old story. It's a very old story. I don't know why that's in there. Star Wars, let's see, comic books. I'm reading some updates on Star Wars News Net here. Okay, this is something. Anchorhead, the famous location, finally arrives 45 years later, a location that was first mentioned in the original Star Wars film back in 77, will be seen on the screen in the upcoming Obi-Wan series. How fitting that this series is the one for Anchorhead to make its screen debut, being that it was the location Luke was supposed to visit with Obi-Wan before Owen and Beru were murdered, changing the course of galaxy's history forever. It's great that they have that in there. So I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff, too. Okay, we got some reveal on the Bad Batch Season 2. You want to hear this?
Yeah. Of course I do. We're in Sith Council. I want to hear
it. Oh, thank you. Star Wars News And Star Wars animated series composer Kevin Kiner. We were wrong, by the way, on Kevin. You know, we said Kevin Kiner, we need him to do a TV show.
Yeah.
He just did Peacemaker.
Did he?
Yeah.
He just did Peacemaker. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I was stupid.
I think that music gets kind of looked over because of the theme song.
Yes. But Kevin Kiner is great. And that's made me hopeful that he'll start doing some live action stuff. Star Wars animated series composer Kevin Kiner and his sons Sean and Dean recently revealed details about the upcoming season of The Bad Batch during an appearance on a charity stream for Ukraine Aid. That's awesome. The two have been working on the score for the second season of The Bad Batch for quite some time, with it being developed even when they were scoring the first season. An unspecified amount of time will have passed between the first and second seasons. Okay. When we return to the titular team, Omega will look older. The show will take viewers back to Coruscant.
Hey, haven't been there before.
Yeah, we haven't in a while. With the Kiners composing the political noir pieces for certain scenes that may or may not take place on the planet. The second season of the show will have a substantially larger cast of characters. That's great. Brand new Star Wars movies and streamings are headed our way over the next several years, so there are plenty more adventures. Okay. Out of that, I guess the news with Bad Batch season two. We kind of started our foray into Sith Council.
Yeah.
Was Bad Batch. And we were all kind of like, it was fun. It was like a little appetizer before all this stuff that we are getting now. Steph, because we did have that season and we've had a break, and because we have all this other stuff, are you a little more interested in season two than you were before?
Yeah, I'm definitely happy that Omega will be older because I didn't mind it, but it's hard when you're doing like an adventure of the day and you have a kid traveling with you. But then I think of Arcane and I just feel like they did that show so well with little kids and then moving to adults. So if they do that kind of transition, that could be really good. It is nice. So I'm glad you asked that, because I did think to myself this week for the first time since season one, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to season two.
Yeah,
you know, it's tough thinking about that now, and it makes sense with the Obi-Wan show. Like, okay, Mando, Grogu, Omega, the Bad Batch, Luke, Obi-Wan. They were doing three shows where it was Lone Wolf and Cub. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's, you nailed it on one, and like you're going back to the well a lot, and it's just like, all right, this is
right.
Yeah.
And so I like was not with you guys. I had not watched Clone Wars, so I started getting into it, and I knew people warned me 1 and 2 seasons were not that great.
Yeah,
and it waned me off. I was like, I got too much. I got other stuff I got to watch. And then a buddy sent me a list of someone on Star Wars, a big Star Wars fan. It might have been one of the guys from either Alex Damon, one of those guys, sent me a breakdown of a website. These are the shows
canon episodes
you need to watch that tell you all about the characters.
Yeah.
All of us, you're not going to miss anything.
And the episodes of Clone Wars.
Oh, episodes of Clone Wars. And it was like, it was like you said, 22 episodes, they took it and gave it 13, right, like a shorter season. It's like, I'm flying through these things and everything's making sense.
It's really good. And Rebels is, I think, 13 episodes a season or something.
I watched Rebels. That was when I first came on Far, Far Away. Yeah, I'm catching up.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's perfect. You didn't need to watch every episode.
I was trying to and it was killing me.
But either way, that show coming back, I'm interested in it for sure. It's not one of the ones that I think, like I said, it's Star Wars. It'll be on, and it'll give us a nice break in between. They pushed it back, right?
It was supposed to be spring.
Yeah.
And so now we're projecting it'll probably be fall.
Okay, so it'll probably be right before Andor.
Yeah.
So,
And we don't know Mando really still, right?
No, I think
end of the year.
But I thought Andor's the end of the year.
And Andor is I think September, October.
So Bad Batch will come out maybe late summer.
Yeah,
that's what we're thinking.
That's what I think.
Yeah, okay. Like August. Okay. Probably, and all of this information will probably come out in May during Celebration.
Because
Obi-Wan will have just aired episode one, or will be airing episode one during Star Wars Celebration. So they'll probably preview episode two. They'll probably start to have more breakdowns of shows. And Bad Batch will have a panel. Andor will have a panel. Obi-Wan will have a panel. The Acolyte will have a panel. Ahsoka will have a panel, I would assume, or unless they do what they did years past, which is also very possible, is where they do a big panel of all of the TV shows.
Right.
But I just think that these things are so we've gotten to a place like Comic-Con now where you could do a big Marvel panel like they do, and then this amount of time is going to be spent on Obi-Wan. This is going to be spent on this.
Yeah.
I think you have enough now that you could give the shows their own separate panels and give yourself more material.
Could be.
Not sure. What do you hope to see at Celebration stuff?
I'm not a type of person that needs to see release dates. But I would love to see at least like a trailer for something else, whether that's Andor. Yeah. I actually kind of hope it is Andor, just because we've been talking about it for so long now. That was the one that felt like it was in production the quickest. They knew what they were doing. They announced season two or that there would be a season two. So, and I just want to see what the vibe is for that show, because that's the one I'm not the most already invested in, but it has the potential. Yeah,
for sure. Mike, do you have anything in particular that you really want to see at Celebration?
No.
No?
I say this because we know we're getting it. I know I'm going to watch it. I love this feeling where I'm going in blind to a lot of these things now. Like, I've kind of, with Spider-Man, and that was my thing, and Doctor Strange, now I haven't watched those trailers yet. I kind of enjoy that. I love being discovering things every week. I hate with Boba Fett, there was that talk, like, oh, fifth and sixth episodes, you're going to blow the internet. The internet's going to explode. But people in production were talking about that. It's like, so we were expecting something big. And it was. Two amazing things happened in those last two episodes. But I don't want to know this stuff anymore. Yes. I don't need to sell me.
No,
I'm
know,
on board.
I like to know the tone of it. Like, where I think for me,
it's a space adventure. There you go. That's a tone.
Yeah, thank you. But when Obi-Wan, when that trailer came out, everyone wanted to see the trailer to know exactly what. Because I think they answered so many questions with that trailer. That trailer answered a lot of questions.
Yes.
And it set up and it gave you those answers of, I don't need to see another one.
It didn't give away.
And there's people
anything.
That need that. I get it. And I get that. But there's also the discourse now. It's like, sign this petition. We got to get the Inquisitor back to what he looked like.
Well, what else people need is people also need to be smart about what they're doing when they're walking into gas stations, Mike. And I know someone like you, a guy like you.
I'm a dirtbag.
You are a real dirtbag. And I know you more than anybody. When you're walking around these gas stations doing shady stuff. What you need to do is be careful. Because when you're looking around, and Mike, I've seen him do it. He's looking around. He's looking at those erection pills, and they're tempting. But if you really look into it and you see what's in those products, they are terrible for you. The same goes for the most of the products on the market that claim to help people in the bed. Who the hell wants a four-hour erection? Arnold walking around there. Look at this. Get the four-hour hard on. And knocking over plants when they walk in. Can't help myself. Joy Mode is here to save the day. Whether you are happy or unhappy with your performance in the bedroom, you got to make it better. Joy Mode Sexual Performance Booster is like a pre-workout, but for sex. Wouldn't you rather take a supplement designed to spice up the things naturally rather than the prescription drug that can have harmful effects down the road? You go to great lengths to biohack your way better to mental and physical performance. What about the bedroom? Come on. Joy Mode, it makes natural and science-backed sexual wellness products for men. The Sexual Performance Booster is like a pre-workout, but for sex. Joy Mode was created because the products on the market are terrible and they know they could do better. Prescriptions come with all sorts of side effects and the over-the-counter gas station pills as they're sketchy and the fraudulent. But lots of guys take it because they both don't have a better option. Here's what you do. How do you take it and what do you expect? You tear open the sachet and you mix it with 6 to 8 ounces of water. Like your favorite electrolyte packet, and for best use, consume it anywhere. 45 minutes to 4 hours prior to sexual activity. You notice better blood flow, better erection quality and firmness, and increased sexual energy and drive. I wish Maria was still here to show her. You want to spice up things in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance? Do it naturally. And you want to do it without any nasty prescription drugs? We have a special offer for the Big Ding audience. Go to Joy Mode. Use joymode.com/bigding. Enter Big Thing at the checkout for 20% off your first order. That is usejoymode.com/bigthing for your 20% off your order. Thank you, Joy Mode. Get to the chopper. All right.
Yeah, I do. I mean, there's a gas station near my house. I get
it's, don't do it.
Well, it's 25 cents for Kong Dong.
Don't use Kong Dong. Use the Joy Mode.
Can I get?
I'll give you a packet.
You got a couple packets?
Yeah, you want one? Be careful, Shannon.
If I take it on the way home, am I going to get a hard on? I won't be able to drive.
No. That's not what this does.
It doesn't give me a hard on.
No, man. I'm
getting old. I need these things.
Well, that's the whole point. You don't need it for that.
It's a pre workout from. Am I going to get tingly?
Listen,
I get tingly with my pre workout.
Come on.
Me too.
Oh, look at Steph. Take it easy, will you?
Jesus. Oh my God. Jesus.
All right. Okay, moving on, everybody. So we have all these things that we've got coming up. As we mentioned, I want to stay on Celebration, though, too. There are so many different things that can come out of that. And I remember, like, it is their Comic-Con. It is Star Wars Comic-Con. Plus the fact, remember, that we've been, it was supposed to, last year it was supposed to happen.
We've been sans celebration for very long now.
Well, then we go back to, obviously, we're talking about all the TV shows and whether or not you get a teaser trailer for Acolyte and all that. But you would have to assume that they're going to have some kind of an announcement for the movie. But the problem is what they've been doing, and I think...
What movie, though?
Do you think the Feige movie is announced?
I don't think he's got the time.
I don't think he's got doing.
He's got 15 Marvel shows coming out and 10 movies, and he's now taking the Fox movies. Feige, I think, is the Star Wars chance. Is the farthest thing from his mind right now. Exactly. I'm gonna go to Celebration and just be that guy in every panel, screaming in the background. What is she proposing? Every panel. I got to get that guy's outfit. You think about it. Feige, and with this world now, with the multiverse, he's got all these characters, and he does such a good job with it, but he's, so you know.
You think that Taika probably first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feige right now is the guy from, God, I can't remember his name, from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with the board, what he's doing right now. Yeah. You don't need Star Wars in there.
I don't think they bring him. I don't think he's going to come out, but if Taika Charlie probably
Day,
comes
right?
out.
Charlie Day?
Mm-hmm. Well, Taika probably comes out, probably makes an announcement.
On
his movie.
But he's got Love and Thunder he's trying to wrap up.
Yeah, but that's done. I don't know about that. I think Tyke has probably got a chance, because any star power, and you have star power at the event, I think now he's probably the surest bet that you got that the movie will actually take place.
I agree.
Because if you bring like Lindelof out and you bring somebody, because people are going to say, and here's our big announcement, here's our movie. Great. We'll believe it when we go to see it in the theater.
The Star Wars fandom, and this is would be their thing, is a different fandom than, let's say, the Marvel fandom. Mm-hmm. Where Taika and his brand, I'll be the first to admit, I didn't like Ragnarok when I first saw it. Didn't like it at all. Mm. I have since, on rewatch, it ate my foot and said, this is one of my favorite movies of the MCU. I love it. But he's also got a very distinct...
Yes.
He's a Lord Miller. He's got a distinct style that when you hire him, you know what you're doing. So if you're doing a whole movie in that tone...
Well, wait a minute.
Reel that.
Don't know, because remember he directed two episodes of Mandalorian, and they were two of the best ones.
Episodes of a Mandalorian that had an overall view and of Favreau's. Sure. This is my show. Come in and spice it up with your little.
Sure, but remember, he's even though Bryce Dallas Howard and Deborah Chow, I think Deborah Chow is established TV director. Either way, newer to the Star Wars universe, and so was Taika. And they all sat around listening to Favreau and Filoni talking. And it's just because Taika's got that clout, and he's like a rock star, you know, that you're like, oh,
yeah, he's
he can do whatever he wants to do.
Odd rock star.
I think he stayed within the lines in Marvel. He still did his own thing. He still had his tone, but
but that was pushing.
Still connected the universe, and people, but also, and most people think that movie out of the three is the best.
It is.
Out of Thor.
Because the other two were boring. They were boring fantasy sci-fi things.
You're coming off of a franchise in the new prequels, in the new trilogy. A lot of people, it's mixed.
Right.
So if he takes
Star Wars fandom is a different thing.
I don't disagree with you, but I just think that he's got a, and it goes back to your point earlier, Mike, and this question is, if they announce his movie, is it a familiar character or is it something brand new inside of the High Republic? I think they throw all their chips in and go into this High Republic thing. Set it up. Set up a High Republic show like they're doing.
But do you want a High Republic like in a Taika Waititi tone?
Knowing
what I know of High Republic, it's a more of a Kenneth Branagh tone.
Yeah, well, the only thing that threw me off
with...
The only thing that threw me off, and similar to what you just said about Thor, right? The only thing that threw me off when I initially saw Taika's finale episode was, like, the clear Taika Waititi humor with the two stormtroopers punching Grogu in the face.
Right.
Like, that's a clear... But the rest of it played...
Like Quill.
Oh, it played really well.
I love it. I think he's great.
You're
going to
have a sense of humor. Like, I think that,
or like Jojo Rabbit, you know, I feel like he has the ability to tell a serious story.
With a lot of humor in it.
Yeah,
he's a funny dude.
Which could work for
Star Wars. I'm on board with him.
Yeah, see, I also love his humor.
I'm just curious how this fandom
Star
will
Wars
take
fandom's
that.
Different.
Yes, I know. I love his humor. I think he's hilarious. So I would be on board with it depending on how, it also depends on what it is. So that's why I do think they'll probably announce his movie. I think his movie will
be thinking about it now, watching Taika Waititi do a Dash Rendar movie, that would be awesome.
If they even do that, though. But it's I don't know. It's and where do they continue?
Because he's talked about he wanted to do a Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Yep.
Before he saw Guardians of the Galaxy. He's like, well, they did Flash Gordon. I can't. So to know what he would do, and again, Star Wars is Star Wars. Whether you love it or now, whatever your highfalutin values in Star Wars is, we have Star Wars because Lucas couldn't do Flash Gordon. The pulpy, because they wouldn't let him have the rights. So he's like, well, I'll create my own Flash Gordon. Star Wars is essentially the DNA of Flash Gordon. And Taika wants to do Flash Gordon, get him out there to do it.
Yeah.
Let him knock it out.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that works and how many movies at all if they announce. And I just think it's, I just think they need to be very cautious in announcing movies. I think Taika is really the only one that you could announce at Celebration, and the fans will still say, okay, we'll believe. They'll still say we believe it when we see it.
Right.
But I think that they have more of a, all right, because it's Taika, it's probably going to happen because he seems to, because he's already involved in the family. But if they start saying, well, Taika's got a movie, and then we signed Damon Lindelof, and he's got a movie coming out too.
Yeah,
and then they got a movie. And it's like, sucks, that's not going to happen.
Because we, Celebration right now, if things were going the way they were, Rogue Squadron.
Yeah.
That would have been the one they even had maybe footage at.
It was supposed to come out next year.
Yeah. So I know we'll never know the ins and outs, but I would love to know why that folded. I would kill to know about that.
There's so many conflicting reports. Is one that one says it's creative differences, one is schedule. Like, who knows? Either way, the schedule one is the one where I always go, come on. I was like, why do you sign on?
I don't want to believe it. I don't want to believe it.
Why do you sign on the schedule?
84 didn't do what they thought it would be, and Star was like, whoops.
I don't think that's the case.
I hope not. They've done that before. They did it with Trank in the Fantastic Four. There was a lot there. Yeah. But the people involved with Fantastic Four were like,
around the same time, but it was also because he didn't have, he'll tell you straight up, he was going through a lot of stuff going on back then.
And she wasn't even going to write Rogue Squadron. She was going to direct it, which I didn't love 84 at all, but I thought it was well directed.
Yeah.
She's a great filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So great filmmaker. And she had a passion behind it. A movie like Rogue Squadron is a movie that I am more excited about because it doesn't necessarily, and it's funny because I say, like, I like when everything connects, but with the movies, I like when it, if you're just going to do like a one-off and then potentially if people start to lock onto it and really enjoy the characters, then maybe you do spin-off shows and all that. Like, look at like the Batman, right? Batman. There was talks about the Penguin having an own HBO Max series, and you see what Colin Farrell does in it.
And now you're like, give me that.
Give me that tomorrow, right? And that's the type of stuff that I think that they should be doing in Star Wars if they're going to jump off. But like, if they don't announce a trilogy, just do one-offs, man, and then you can maybe connect that into TV and then place it out there. But just, you got to make one. There has yet to be a great Star Wars movie, in my opinion, since Return of the Jedi. A great Star Wars movie. Some people argue and people love.
You don't think Rogue One's a great movie?
I think it's a really good movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a great Star Wars movie. Okay. I think it's a really good movie. Empire Strikes Back, to me, is a great Star Wars movie. New Hope is a great Star Wars movie. Return of the Jedi is a great Star Wars movie. And I know some people, the people who grew up with the prequels, will say Revenge of the Sith is a great Star Wars movie. I think that this is it. And in my, as I've watched it more and more, I think it's a very good Star Wars movie. Obi-Wan and what I saw in that trailer looks like a great Star Wars story. It looks like the Star Wars story I've been looking for, like, even before the prequels.
As I'm getting older, I'm not getting, like, I Phantom Menace to me is a great Star Wars movie. And I would never have said that. I would never have said that 10, 15 years ago.
I think it's a very fun movie.
As I'm getting older.
I like watching it.
And looking back.
You think it's a great movie, though, with dialogue and everything, too?
I think it's a great Star Wars movie. Okay. Star Wars doesn't have great dialogue. New Hope doesn't have great dialogue, pal. It doesn't.
What do you mean?
The dialogue is not, Lucas is not known for his dialogue.
Of course. Yeah,
but I mean, look, but Empire Strikes Back was not written by him.
I know. But New Hope was.
Yeah.
And New Hope, Phantom Menace feels like New Hope to me. It's just fine. I'm a kid.
Like
with,
I said,
with
I think it's a lot of really
wizards
good ones.
And castles, and
I just my
point. And I wasn't always like that.
My point with all of that is though, you haven't had one where people are just like
saying.
With Force Awakens, and even when we did our rewatch, Force Awakens
like
when we
a
saw
classic.
Yeah, when we saw Force Awakens in the theater, and we watched it. We're like, okay, before all the other movies came out, we were like, okay, we're ready, we're pumped. They got us. That's a great starting point. But now we all said the same thing. We watched Force Awakens. Like, yeah, but now we know what comes after this, and it's not.
You're right.
It's not
you're
as good
right.
Enough. And so that's why you got to be like they want, and that's probably why, as we were talking about it with Jeff, why they're so skeptical of waiting to put a movie out because they want to. If they put another movie out and it divides the fans again,
right?
They're gonna go just stop making movies. I'm already there. I'm already like I understand.
Yeah, you're against that. You yeah. You rather do
but
streaming.
I understand. I understood Jeff's point 1,000%, and I understand when the fans say that 1,000%. You got like it is one of the biggest franchises in the world. It made its mark in it. It's created the big blockbuster. I don't care about Jaws. It created the big blockbuster and that kind of summer action movie. And to not make movies, I get why they're doing it.
To what Jeff's saying, Mandalorian isn't bringing in $1 billion. It's just not.
Right.
It's not. No matter how many subscriptions you're getting, it's not bringing in $1 billion.
Different
Star Wars, a movie.
Yes.
As proven, brings in $1 billion.
It's different objectives. It's different objectives.
And that money fuels, and that money allows you to make The Mandalorian.
Yes.
It's
true.
Was it pay Paul to feed Peter, whatever that saying is?
So what is it? You're speaking about paying Paul. How about my bookie? My bookie, ladies and gentlemen, March is here, and the madness has officially begun. It is time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action. Got to use my bookie. Predict winners in each round of the my bookie bracket for a chance to win a Bitcoin, a Doodle NFT, currently valued at over $50,000 and over $100,000 more in cash prizes. Whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props, MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today with MyBookie and use that promo code BIGTHING to make your first deposit, earning a free entry into the MyBracket contest. Selections for the bracket will officially begin on March 13th and close March 17th at 12 p.m. So make sure you get your deposit in now with BIGTHING to secure that free entry. That bet anything, anytime, anywhere, MyBookie. Do it. All right. So I think that's really... That's the majority of what we got here today. I think we talked about a lot, folks.
We did.
We'll be back here. I don't know. Who knows if Michael will be back next week? We think he might.
I probably won't be.
Who knows? Well, we're going to try. And we have no word yet on. We're waiting back to hear if our Sith Council panel got approved. So if it did, we will let you know. We will be there.
That'd be great.
That would be
great.
So fun.
We could sit there and say, what are we proposing?
What are we proposing?
What are you proposing?
I'll sit in the back of the theater.
I want the audience to scream out what is she proposing when we're doing it. So we'll let people know for sure. And once again, guys, if you didn't know, as I mentioned earlier today, Titans, it is on Friday, the World Championship of Movie Trivia. It is the Schmodown. The Inglorious One, Sam Levine, is returning in a number one contender match against the Barbarian, last year's single tournament finalist. Who is going to win? The winner will play Marisol McKee for the championship on March 25th at our second pay-per-view of the year. So please head on over to the Schmodown. Check it out. Give us a shot if you've never seen it before. I really want to get your thoughts on it. If you're watching it for the first time, you're watching Sith Council, and you've never watched the Schmodown or you haven't watched it a bit, go on over to Friday Night Titans and let me know and give me a comment. Say, hey, I heard you talking about it on Sith Council, and I wanted to give it a shot, and here are my thoughts, and please let me know. Okay. For Mike Kalinowski and for Steph Sabraw, this is Sith Council, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you. We will talk to you very, very soon. We'll be back next week. Peace.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.